Before we jump in, a warning that we are an explicit book podcast.
Yes, that means swearing, shitty jokes, and a whole lot of dark humour that some may take offence to.
Please check your trigger warnings on all of the books we cover.
You've been warned.
The episode starts in 3, 2, 1.
A book in a bed.
Hello and welcome to another episode of A Book and a Bev. We are your hosts, Georgia, Bryony, Ellie, and is it your birthday? Because in this book, we encounter a financially stable, household chore-fulfilling, older fictional man who feels like he was written from our very own birthday wishes. It's Birthday Girl by Penelope Douglas.
Oh, you love welcome. A financially stable man.
Honestly.
I just love an old man.
What are we drinking?
Well, if I was a beer drinker, I would have a Corona, but I don't drink beer. We don't like the yeast. And then I was going to do like the reappearance of the vodka mud shake in honor of like their whole mudding situation. But your girl is on a budget and couldn't be bothered buying more alcohol. So we're just doing the normal Jack and Coke.
Fair enough.
It's reliable. It's stable. It's financially stable, if you will.
Yeah.
Well, I'm drinking champagne because I feel like I need some class and dignity after reading this book, because there are parts where I didn't have either of those two things. So I'm bringing it back.
Oh, well. I decided that I wanted something strong tonight, and so I decided margarita. That's right. I'm drinking fucking tequila.
That just looks like vodka.
It's actually, it is tequila, triple sec, and it is tequila. Sprite, because that's all I had in my fridge.
I was going to say, that just looks like clear alcohol in a fancy glass with some
exactly
sugar on top.
Actually what it is. Tequila, triple sec.
I appreciate that we're all going on theme with our main character just wanting to try and survive and, like, hustle financially, and we're all like, whatever was in the fridge.
Exactly. I'm like, I had enough tequila for two drinks. That's what we're having tonight.
Yeah. I say I'm drinking champagne because I'm keeping it classy. Little do you know, it's $24 for 3 bottles of Yellow Glen.
All right. What do we all think of the book?
Well, Penelope, buddy pal, you saucy minx, you are redeemed in my eyes. We all know that Credence was both like a swing and a miss for me, but this one was just like a good 4-star read for me. Upon reflection, one of the things that I realized I did not enjoy about Credence was that a lot of her sexuality felt like a trauma response without acknowledging that it was in fact a trauma response. Whereas in this book, I almost wanted Pike to be more extreme and more sexually explicit.
Oh, yeah.
We got like a good foundation for the relationship that built on things like in common. So that made it a bit easier for me to swallow as well. It reminds me of like one of the good markers of a healthy relationship in the real world. Like, we all know that age gaps in reality can come with a lot of like societal baggage and concerns due to obvious reasons. But like, a healthy age gap to me is when the relationship works and it's not just because, oh, they make me feel young. And that's what this had for me. All in all, like, I literally thrashed through this in a couple of hours. It was just really enjoyable. So I liked it.
Oh, good. I really fucking love an older man. Give me all the age gap romance all the time. Like, that's just, it's just my thing. Don't care if it's 450 years. Don't care if it's 25 years.
As soon as I started reading this book, met you, I was like, you know what book Ellie would like? You know what main character Ellie would like? Pike Lawson.
You're not wrong. But, you know, was it a little bit weird that this particular age gap romance was with the father of her ex-boyfriend? Yes. Was it also a little weird that during sex they'd play into how much of a little girl she was by saying shit like, use your adult words, Jordan? Yes. Would I still fuck Pike? Yes.
Absolutely.
I also really loved reading the dynamic of the douchey ex-boyfriend who isn't actually like a terrible person.
Yeah.
But he just does terrible things. Like, that just felt really fucking relatable. Where it's like, you know what? They're like a little golden retriever where you just want them to do the goddamn right thing and they just never do. I also really vibed with Jordan for a lot of this book, like her taste in music, older men, you know, all of it really. But then I did find her incredibly childish in parts, like towards the end of the book. And, you know, that's probably just her acting like an actual 19-year-old, to be quite fair. I did really like the book. I'm here for the smutty dad.
Exactly.
And I got what I wanted.
Yeah, well, look, I fucking love Pike Lawson. I love him. I want him to do deplorable things to me, please. When I look back, this mm-hmm. book was my very first age gap romance that I ever read. It's still one of my favorites. And as Bryony said, the relationship between Pike and Jordan is very much built upon common interests and future goals and like a general friendship. The relationship challenges with Cole and Pike were also still covered, which is good because, you know, it wasn't just a father being like, oh, well, fuck my son. He's a prick and I'm just going to fuck his girlfriend. He genuinely wanted a relationship with his son, loved his son and didn't want to hurt him. But it also felt like, you know, Jordan was his soulmate. And like, I felt like that challenge was touched upon a lot and not just swept under the rug, which is sometimes in these taboo romances. I've read a lot of, ex-boyfriend's dad mm-hmm. romance. And a lot of the time in a lot of books, it's just swept under the rug. Like, oh, well, that relationship is gone now. Bye, son. Hello, bye. Pussy.
I'm going to make a new son.
Yes. We are going to replace you. Oh. Here's your new mummy.
Oh my God, she really did become his new mum.
But I also feel like me starting my Penelope Douglas journey with this book so much better than starting your journey with Credence. I am so sorry that you guys had to start off with Credence and not with a book like this, because this is Penelope Douglas, you know, in her good work.
This was a good era.
Credence, you know, it's got some material in there that I like to keep for the wank bank, if I'm honest.
We leave it there.
Look, and also touching on like Jordan being a little bit childish at times, I think possibly the reason why this didn't bug me as much is because the other day I was thinking about that book Sinner by Sierra Simone and I remembered terribly immature and childlike that FMC was inside the bedroom in comparison to like the strong independent woman she had the capability to be outside. Like outside the bedroom she was amazing, and then inside the bedroom it was like this switch flicked and she turned into this child. So I think that's maybe why this book, because I was actually thinking about it recently. Maybe that's why I didn't pick up on that so much.
Oh, you can play into the daddy aspect of it without it actually being a dad. Do you know what I struggled with? The fact that she was 19. I am 10 years older than this girl and I found it really difficult. You know me, I like to imagine myself as all of our female main characters. And I'm like, oh my God, can I age myself down that much? What was I doing at 19? It certainly wasn't 35-year-old men, that's for sure.
I wish. So we're starting off and this book is from two point of views, Jordan and Pike. So we get Jordan, and Jordan I'd like to describe in three words: come loofah queen. If you know, you know.
Oh my God. But riddle me this. How does one just get off on a loofah?
Rubber dub dub.
I feel like the friction is not enough. Like it would just, you'd be scrubbing it.
And it would be painful.
There
would be blood.
There would be. Fucking hell.
Takes raw doggy into a whole different level.
It really does.
She is our FMC. She's 19. She comes from a rough childhood of neglect. She is in a relationship with Cole for the first part of this book, but that relationship is failing and failing quickly. Jordan is a very hard worker and like the embodiment of the word hustle. She's like working really risky jobs to make ends meet while she gets through school. And her sister is like weirdly almost pressuring her to start working in a strip club to make extra cash. But like she's quite like a shy and quiet homebody, so getting her tits out isn't really her vibe. She's not like, here's my tits, here's my vag, happy days,
give me $20.
I swear to God, I'd be doing it for more than $5. You better be getting me like,
yeah, I was gonna say,
that's right, a car then.
You're giving me like, that's a car. That's a house. But enter a mysterious dark stranger who likes the same movies as her and makes her feel like the world isn't on her shoulders for one moment. And that is our grumpy builder hot daddy, Pike Lawson.
Ooh, grumpy builder hot daddy.
Yes, indeed. He's our MMC. He is Cole's father. He swoops in to save Cole and Jordan after they're evicted due to Cole's bad behavior. He's 38, runs his own construction company, owns his own home, is financially and somewhat emotionally stable. So need we say more?
Where do I sign?
Yeah, honestly, a sign of my soul, my vagina, my body. You want my left tit or my right tit?
I'll up her offer. You can have both.
I love that. Take both and mine. Then we jump to the boyfriend, Cole Lawson. I didn't have any describing words for him because he's about as interesting as the whole supermarket. So he is a 19-year-old. Like, the relationship between him and Jordan is built on trauma, and he is just not motivated. And she's just carrying not only their relationship emotionally, but also financially. So, aka, he's a giant dropkick. We've got Cam, who's Jordan's sister, who works for Hook. She's a stripper. She's weirdly pressuring Jordan all the time. Weird vibes. But she's also, like, weird. Basically her closest friend. It's all a bit weird.
Weird vibes.
Yeah. We've got Jay, which is Jordan's shithead abusive ex. And that's all we're going to say about him because that's all he deserves. Shell, which is Jordan's boss. We've got Dutch, Pike's colleague slash bestie. And Lindsay, which is Cole's mum and Pike's ex.
I'm not over his name.
Pike.
Pike. It's unique.
It is unique.
In Penelope's books, she likes to kind of just
I haven't forgotten about Tiernan.
Tiernan.
That's right.
Anyway, let's get on with the book.
Look, we dive in and we start the book off with Jordan trying to get a hold of Cole. Like, she's finished work and he's meant to pick her up, but he isn't responding to her texts or answering her calls. We learn that this is not a surprising turn of events. He just generally just, you know, abandons her. So that seems super healthy and normal.
Yikes.
It also turns out that it is Jordan's 19th birthday. And so while she waits for her boyfriend to possibly show up, she kills time by going to watch a movie at the local theater. She's taken in, like, basically a bag of goon and a box of Krispy Kremes into the movies to celebrate her birthday, which sounds, I can't tell if it's depressing or sounds actually really good. I'm really torn.
I have gone to the movies on my own.
No, that's amazing.
I love every moment of it.
So, like, really, it's actually a great way to spend your birthday.
Yeah, something about boxed wine
and Krispy Kremes. So she ends up spilling her wine and, like, dropping her phone in the dark cinema seats, and then, like, she's trying to find it all when she bumps into a handsome tattooed stranger who helps her locate said phone. They end up sitting together to watch the film, and the vibes are good. He ends up making, like, a makeshift birthday candle for her donut and gives her, like, some life advice about not wasting time with fear. The vibes are just vibing.
They are.
As they leave the movie, there's, like, this tension, and it's like, will they or won't they meet again? But then she tries Cole again, and this guy overhears her. Turns out his name is Pike Lawson, and he is Cole's dad. Pike has also just received a call from Cole, and so takes Jordan as they need to bail Cole out of jail again. We flash forward, and Jordan and Cole are moving in with Pike because of Cole's actions. They were evicted from their apartment. He decided to throw Jordan a birthday party, but his friends didn't want to wait for her, so he partied without her and got into a fight. Brilliant. I hate him.
Good.
I just can't.
We've got low expectations for men as it is, and that's like...
The bar was on the floor.
Yeah.
And he was
all he had to do was just, like, literally show up. That's all he had to do.
Yeah. Basically to save money so they can recuperate and get back on their feet. They're not paying rent while they live with Pike, but they're going to contribute to chores and etc. It's very clear that Jordan has serious doubts about living with Pike, but Cole is all like, stay, I need you. And she forgives him like she apparently always does. And we get this quote, which is, Cole isn't a loser. He's 19, impulsive, angry, and confused. But unlike me, he never had to grow up. There's always someone taking care of him.
Can I just say, this is why I like older men.
But also, isn't this the fucking Taylor's oldest time. Boys don't need to grow up. The world is catered to make them happy. The girl is basically treated like she should have adult responsibilities as a child and forced to grow up fast. But when she is an adult, she is infantilized and can't be in her own power.
Wow.
I had a lot of big feelings about this.
Oh my God, go off.
Jordan starts cooking dinner as they're moving in, and we learn more about how Jordan used to love doing acts of service for Cole, but it's gotten one-sided, which, again, too relatable.
Indeed.
Yeah, can I just have a little side note here, because she's making them burgers, right? I need to focus on the burgers. You know, she's making these
burgers,
shattering, world-shaking burgers. Let me describe to you what they consist of. You've got your burger bun, you've got your meat patty, you've got some onion, barbecue sauce.
That's it.
Groundbreaking.
That is it. Where is the cheese? Because if you're just giving me some soggy fucking bun with a piece of essentially a risotto with some raw onion and a little bit of Heinz barbecue sauce, take your acts of service and just work on that, because you're not serving me.
The only thing you're serving me is a fucking headache.
Exactly. It is at this stage that we encounter Cam, Jordan's sister, as she randomly appears in this house, and we see that although she's making good money as a stripper, she's conflicted about it still. With all of that being said, she's very clearly trying to get her sister to come and work at the same strip club as her, which just seems very unusual. Anyways, they're basically eating together as Cole wants to eat outside with his friends. Pike manages to be like, no, like, sit down, Cole, but it's obvious that they don't get along, and Cole ends up storming out and saying he will do the dishes later.
Of course he will. And then do you know what he will do when he goes to do those dishes? Yep. He needs to let them soak. I'm not sure if anyone else has encountered this.
Mm-hmm. I'll just let them soak for 3 days.
I hate it.
It's got to soak.
Of course.
For at least 48 hours.
So Pike finishes his dinner. He apologizes to Jordan for the tension in the house before he just starts doing the dishes, and their banter just keeps on establishing, like, how much they think alike, and Jordan has to be like, oh my god, whoa, slow your roll, that is your boyfriend's father. As Jordan is leaving the kitchen, she has, like, put scented candles around his house, and so she goes and she blows out one of the candles, and we learn that every time she blows out a candle, she makes a wish, and she always wishes for a life that she doesn't want to take a vacation from, wouldn't we all?
Yeah, get in line.
Yeah, sick, relatable. Why am I negging her if it's relatable then?
I know.
Internalized misogyny. From Pike's point of view, it's clear that he has, like, a troubling relationship with Cole because his ex, Lindsay, like, fed him lies and still wants to on and off again fuck him. I don't know. The weather basically has put one of Pike's construction jobs at risk, and so as he goes to rush out the door, he sees that Jordan is awake. He asks her to wake Cole up to help him, but when she comes back downstairs, it's just her. And Pike begins to be like, no, not for you. But Jordan promptly is like, we ain't got time for your male ego today, sir. Let's move it. We need a hustle. And so they go to the job site. Jordan ends up getting soaked in the rain, but looks like she's actually having fun. And as they go to drive home, Pike tries not to flip out over the rain-soaked gorgeous woman that is, like, in his car. And we discover that Jordan likes the music that Pike's dad had left behind in his car. And so
what you're saying is that she should really have been with Pike's dad.
Just skipped that generation, gone straight for granddaddy.
Look, she's not wrong, though. That is some of the best music. Hair metal 80s.
It's pretty good.
Oh, my God. Def Leppard, Iron Maiden.
There we go.
Black Sabbath. Like, just...
She's really having
it's my soul.
I love this part of Ellie.
When they get home, we encounter Pike's creepy neighbor, Kyle Kramer, a divorced father who hires babysitters to look after his kids when they are in his custody so he can chase younger women. Gross. Oh. The other guys from Pike's work crew want to go to the bar where Jordan works as they realize that they can essentially perv on her. And just when Pike feels like he is doing a good job at keeping things, like, at a distance, Jordan walks past him on her way to work, and he is so flustered by what she is wearing that his work bestie, Dutch, is just smirking at him at like a Cheshire cat, being like, I can see your boner from here, old man. Cam is often, like, Jordan's ride to work. She shows Jordan her tips compared to, like, what Jordan gets.
Did you also think she said tips? Yeah.
Look, financial tips. And so, like, Jordan's need for money is almost making her desperate enough to go and work with her sister at the strip club, which, again, very weird. And in more weird actions from her sister, Cam has bought Jordan a vibrator in the past, but now buys her lingerie, along with giving her a flyer for a wet t-shirt competition.
Why can't someone just buy me lingerie?
But not your sister. It just feels weird. Cole then decides to ghost girl Jordan again. No one is shocked. And so she ends up wanking while wearing the lingerie, but her dirty thoughts quickly go to Daddy Pie.
Her dirty thoughts?
Her dirty thoughts. She's a dirty girl with a bad habit of drugs. So we then get this kind of cute moment where, like, Pike orders pizza for the two of them. And again, Cole is nowhere to be found. So Pike and Jordan are talking about Jordan's plans for the future, along with her traumatic family backstory. And again, there's, like, this sense of someone wanting the same things you want, of noticing the same things you notice in the world. It's very, like, twin flame of them. Pike is seriously questioning what Cole has done to deserve someone as good as Jordan, especially when he notices, like, his neighbor perving on her over the fence while she does more of Cole's chores. They kind of start playing house and making plans for dinner when Cole won't be around. And I mean, when is he ever around at this stage? So just yeet him.
Yeah.
Later, when Jordan gets out the shower, Cole is actually there for once. once and immediately tries to fuck her.
Yikes.
Obviously, she is so frustrated with him and not in the mood. And his response to this is, I can't listen to this right now, he grits out. You know why I'm always gone? Because of that. He points at my face. The way you look at me, I'm tired of not feeling good enough.
Ew.
Then maybe pick the bar up off the fucking floor and do the bare minimum.
The bare fucking minimum.
The argument turns and, like, he honestly just has no response for any of her valid reasons that she is frustrated with him. And instead, he is just like, just shut up for a while and fuck me. Again, bar
ick
on the floor. The floor has now been demolished. Actually, Pike's construction crew has come through and demolished the floor in a cave. It's just getting lower every day.
Jesus Christ.
I just...
getting lower.
Fuck
just
me.
Shut up.
I just wish this man death.
If someone said that, those words to me, I would be like, you want to do something kinky, babe? I'd tie him to the bed. I would shove his own dirty fucking socks in his mouth and go, shut up and fuck yourself. You'll never see me
and
again.
And it's like, at this stage as well...
Again.
But at this stage as well, Cole is unemployed. She is bankrolling them. He's so busy out partying with what little money he does have that he's not doing his share of chores. He's not even around when she's off of work to hang out with his significant other. It's like, what is this? Like, what?
What is he actually doing for the community? Sometimes honestly, I think we should just literally put them in a cage and throw them at them.
For the community.
For the community.
Nothing. Underground.
It's a disgrace to society.
Look, Jordan is in the pool trying to control her mental spiral after the fight, and Pike just thinks she's drowning herself, so he dives in and pulls her out, and she explains that she was not in fact suicidal, and then gives, like, Pike the info on her trauma bond with Cole. But at this stage, like, every conversation they have is just pointing out all the ways that they have more things in common than she does with Cole. Cole is meant to pick Jordan up from work one day, and instead, Jay, aka Jordan's abusive ex, is the one who shows up in Cole's car because he passed out drunk and so asked one of them to go get her. Rather than get in the car with her abusive ex, who's definitely giving off I'm gonna rape you vibes, she ends up sleeping the night in her work, aka a bar, to avoid getting in the car with him. Pike ends up calling her because he's concerned she hasn't come home like she normally is, and she lies to him. But the next day, Pike encounters a hungover Cole and is like, well, where the fuck is Jordan then? And Cole's still standoffish with Pike, but Cole is like, Cole is still standoffish with Pike, but Pike is like, haven't my actions always spoken about how much I love you? Like, surely the amount of times I bail you out of jail and show up whenever you need me and give you whatever you need, like, I'm here. Because Jordan's not where she said she was, Pike is sus. And he has this experience with women lying about where they are, and he confronts her at her work about it. Because he ends up thinking that she's cheated on Cole. So
yikes.
Her boss ends up telling him the truth about what happened, and Pike is obviously like, well, I have fucked up. Jordan is like, peace out. I am getting the fuck out of here. She ends up sleeping at her sister's for the night, and again, is nearly lured into agreeing to work at the Hook as she needs the cash. Again, none of this is a comment on being a stripper or a sex worker, anything of that. You do you, boo. But it's weird your sister trying to convince you to do it. And also it's at the same place. Like, what are you, on different stage just making direct eye contact? It's just weird.
I feel like it's weird pressuring your younger sister to do something that she's clearly told you that she does not want to do multiple times.
Yeah.
Yes.
So when Jordan goes back to Pike's house to get her stuff, he's there and apologizes to her, and he's actually made her a garden for her to cultivate as an apology because she loves landscaping or some shit. I love
it. I actually need a landscaper for my hedges.
If anyone knows anyone, hit us up in the DMs. Pike, Dutch, and his work friends are playing poker one night while Cole and Jordan, but mainly Cole, have a party. Jordan appears to get some snacks and all the guys are perving on her, but Jordan has like a smart, sassy comment to diffuse the moment and still have power, which I wish I had that ability, because like whenever you're heckled or anything, I can't think of something good in the moment. I just get scared and like sputter away.
My automatic instinct is just to flip the bird.
See, I can't even do that. I'm too flustered. I wish I had that like ability just to turn the situation on its head.
I just can't help myself, but like I'm a really angry person. And so, like, when people say something to me, I have no hesitation to be like, sorry, what? Like, and I don't, and even though, like, I know yeah. what they've said, I'm like, sorry, what?
Say it again.
What did you fucking say? Did you just fucking say something that's really fucking rude and disgusting? I want to hear it from your mouth.
I think you can imagine me on alcohol when I need to have a snappy remark. I turn into Vladimir Putin. I channel that energy and it comes out with no Russian accent, believe it or not.
You shouted that out. If there was a Russian accent as well, just on top.
And, like, I just don't use words. I just stare aggressively at people until they get scared of me.
So Jordan sees that Pint has got her birthday cake in the fridge because, remember, she had a lonely fucking birthday that was actually kind of cool, but okay. And the quote is, I stay by her side for a moment, not wanting to budge. Someone should be holding her right now. Someone should be coming to stand in front of her, putting both his hands on the counter at her sides and feeling her breath against his face. I breathe a little faster, imagining what she tastes like.
Yes.
Later on, Pike wakes up and the party is still going on, but it's gotten dirtier. So, like, two girls have their bikini tops off and Jordan literally runs away because Cole is trying to take her shirt off in the pool as well. Pike ends up standing with her while she sorts out her feelings and more banter ensues, during which she offers to set Pike up with one of the topless girls, but then makes a joke that he can't keep up due to his age. And it's just a whole vibe. There's tension,
it's a tension angst. High moment. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, you think I can't keep up? And she's like, oh, now I'm thinking about you keeping up. And then he's so confuzzled mm-hmm. and flustered by her that he cuts himself with a knife and she helps patch him up, which again, that moment in the book where they're like helping each other heal and then their hands are touching and they should really let go now, but they don't. It's fine.
Yeah.
The moment ends with Pike saying he likes talking to her and that has a big, profound effect on her, apparently. Again, bar on the floor.
I like the words ground. With you.
Yeah. So Jordan is officially Fanny struck with Daddy Pike. Cam catches her like ogling her new daddy and she's like, babes, you're a hot young piece of pussy living under his roof and you know he's thought about that. He may be Cole's dad, but he's also a man. And I've never heard the words a hot young piece of pussy.
No.
But now... it's there.
That's so unsettling.
I am so glad you brought that up.
Again, from her older sister.
Yeah.
Piece of pussy.
Hot young yeah. piece of pussy.
Young. Young. Hot young piece of pussy, hot, my young. Sister in Christ.
But yes, so that's unsettling. Jordan ends up climaxing on Pike's loofah, and I'm worried about the bacteria that's kept inside that loofah, and it's now mixed with her climax. The entire thing is making me feel physically unwell, and now I'm really distressed about the cum loofah.
Oh my god. I'm distressed about her vagina. Like, you don't know what's been on that loofah, and you've just mixed that in with your pH.
She's gonna be getting crushed exactly any right. fucking day now.
Any day. Pike is similarly freaking out internally over the fact that Jordan is hot as tits, especially when, in fact, her tits are almost popping out of her clothing in public. Dutch gets the vibes. We get this moment. Pike goes, well, I can be intimidating. And Dutch goes, yeah, she looked like she really wanted to straddle your hard, intimidating cock right there in the bar.
Thank you, Dutch. Love the banter.
We're all shocked to find out that Cockhead Cole was cheating on our precious 80s movie lover with one of her, in quotations, friends.
Mm.
She comes home from work and finds him in the pool slip, slop, slapping, and Pike also sees it.
No.
Cole is like,
no. You did not slip, slop, slap that I reference. Did. Okay, for I our did. American listeners, in Australia, when we talk about applying sunscreen because skin cancer is the most prominent cause of death in Australia, we talk about slip, slop, slapping.
Slip, slop, slap, sneak a slide, have fun outside, but don't get fried.
Oh my God. Wow, they're applying sunscreen in the pool with their genitals.
With their slip, slop, slap. But yeah, so anyway, Pike also sees this happening. And, well, Cole is like, soz, babe, you snooze, you lose. I'm going to go stay with Elena for a while. XOXO, Gossip Girl, see you later. So that happens. And our girl is like, okay, I think it might be a little bit weird if I stay at Daddy's house. So she leaves and she realizes that she forgot to replace the cum loofah at this moment, which is a rookie error.
Yeah.
Rookie error. Oops. Always replace Look,
probably,
the cum loofah.
It's probably for the best, though.
What do you mean?
He's just washing and he's like, wow, it's already soaked up.
Oh,
slathery. pouring so well.
He's like, I actually use this as a facial exfoliant, so this is fantastic.
It's like, oh, it smells a bit like...
smells yeasty.
Yeah.
Bit like yeast.
Bit of a tang.
Jesus. Anyway, so yes, rookie error, leaving the cum loofah. But Daddy obviously makes excuses for her to stay, and we're really happy for him for that moment. Yay. Because we're like, she deserves to stay. He basically, like, takes her to, like, her parents, or her dad and stepmother's house, and it's, like, this dodgy fucking place where this stepbrother, who looks like a fucking...
Dropkick,
gross... fucking ugh.
Is
yeah, oh. Basically perving on her at the front of the house as she goes in, and Pike's just like, the man was too stunned to speak. But yes, he basically begs her not to make him leave her with this shit family, and she ends up agreeing because she doesn't have a bed there, so that's good. But right. As long as he lets her use his loofah, that's the one condition. They go four-wheel driving in, like, a fucking rainstorm and get covered in mud and use it as an excuse to get even more down and dirty in the backyard with a hose. Super romantic. Mm. We get this moment. He raises his gaze, his chest moving up and down in shallow breaths. His lips are parted, and there are 100 different emotions in his eyes, but I recognize the same ones I'm having. Fear and longing. Turmoil and need.
Ooh.
They end up dry humping, but it's wet, so it's actually wet humping outside against the house. And surprise, Cole is home. Lucky, oh my God. We have quick reflexes, and she hides, but they realize that they can't feel this way about each other. So it's a big fat bow-bow.
Yeah.
So Pike ends up having some wet dreams about Jordan when Jay, her abusive ex, arrives to try to comfort her. Pike ain't happy about it. We get this quote. Don't step foot on my property again, or I'll put you in a hole under some wet cement and make you part of the foundation of the next house I build. Never to be seen again.
Ooh. That's hot.
That is
yes,
hot.
Daddy.
That's hot.
He ends up going to the shower and Pike just jerks off over her, and we get this moment where he says, give your cunt what it wants. Ooh. And he like blows his load into her, but it's all actually a dream, and he's really upset because he can't find his cum loofah. So
forgetting the cum loofah for a moment, just put a pin in there. Part of what I thought was where I wanted more spice in this book is because a lot of the spice is just their, like...
imaginary.
Yeah, their imagination, their fantasy. While they wank. And I was like, no, I want it real. Like, I want realness.
Like, if he said, give your cunt what it wants to her, like, in an actual scene, I would have been like, absolutely fucking yes.
Yes, but you know what he does say instead? Use your adult words, Jordan.
Anyway, so Jordan and Pike are playing chicken, basically, by trying to make the other person jealous. Jordan finally cracks and is like, mate, you want my little downstairs taco? And we get this quote.
No. Not after soft taco.
We get this quote, because even if she stayed and rode you to kingdom come all night long, you'll still wake up thinking about me before you even remember she's in the bed next to you.
Oh, Jesus.
Not
kingdom come.
So Jordan. They start having at it, right? And Pike is like, where are those fucking melons? You get this quote. Pike says, pull your shirt up, Jordan. I want to see your tits when I fuck you. All right.
It's aggressive.
It is.
Christ.
And we also get, my muscles are burning, my head is spinning, but I don't break pace, because if I fucking die right now, this is how I want to go out.
That's George. That is Georgia in a quote.
It is. They both feel very happy with one another, but Pike's still thinking about his son.
Well, awesome. Fair enough, mate. Like, he just fucked his girlfriend.
Right after he's just railed, yeah. But it doesn't take long for that manifestation to show its grimy little head, because Cole's mum rocks up and she's like, yo, what's up? Cole quit his job and isn't giving me his cash anymore. And Pike basically tells her to fuck off, but she puts two and two together that he and Jordan are fucking. So that's big yikes. Big yikes. Pike is doing the real manly thing to do by shoving his head in the sand, which we really love that for him. Jordan decides, fuck this shit, and goes to get her titties wet.
When Pike finds out that she's gone to get her titties wet, he freaks. Cole shows up and he's apparently getting his shit together and is doing well. He feels bad for Jordan, et cetera, et cetera. But like, where are the fucking wet tits? Pike is also thinking this too. So, and when Cole leaves, he rushes to see some tits.
Can I just ask, I have a serious question. So he attends the wet t-shirt conference.
Conference.
He attends the conference in a suit because he dressed up in a suit to impress Jordan, but he also fucking avoided Jordan to the point that she attended the wet t-shirt conference.
It's
all circles.
It's just, it doesn't make any sense to me.
No sense. But he does actually end up seeing some wet titties, so double thumbs up for him. He then kisses Jordan in public, shocker, and then he tells Jordan why he didn't show up because of Cole. She understands and we get this moment. I knew you were out there somewhere, I tell her, quirking a sad smile. The girlfriends, women I dated, Cole's mother, I never wanted to marry anyone because they weren't what I was looking for. I had started to think I had my sights set too high and you didn't exist. I clasp the back of her neck and run my thumbs down her throat. Turns out my dream girl belongs to the one person it would kill me to hurt. Tears well in her eyes and I bring her in, my lips meeting her forehead.
Can I just reword that quote? Turns out my dream girl wasn't born yet.
God damn it. Ellie, you can't talk.
I know.
The older men.
I do like it, but I like it from my point of view, not their point of view, okay? I find it sexy when I'm looking upwards in age, but if I was the one looking downwards in age and they hadn't been born yet, I'd be like...
That's probably a problem.
Might need to speak to HR about that one.
So they ride home and our girl decides to lock Daddy out of the room and hump her desk as a way of revenge. Weird flex, but all right.
We get this quote.
Watch me fuck for you. I'll do whatever you say. It's all for you.
And I get, like, she tries to say that part of the lure of being a stripper was she likes performing for her significant other. And so, like, she's FaceTiming him while she's fucking her desk. But it's just...
The logistics of that. Talk me through it again. So it's a rounded on the corner, desk.
Like, picture, no. Yeah. It's
like a 90 degree angle and she's just one leg over and just hubba-dubbin'.
Yeah. Her poor fucking vagina. She's just scrubbed it raw with a fucking loofah and now she's just humping some wood grain.
She's trying to like engrave herself in everything around this man's life.
She's marking her territory.
She's basically
pissing on him. But yes, so instead of letting him fuck her after this, she ends up giving him blue balls. So...
nice.
Power of the pussy.
Okay, guys, you're stuck with me for the rest of the book. Strap in. So after what can only be described as the worst night of Pike's life, he goes on to have the adult male equivalent of a toddler who's missed their day naps attitude the next day. He is just a right-up fucking asshole. No one wants to be around him. Everyone wants to avoid him, but they can't because for some reason they're his responsibility. He gets home and is basically like, spread him. And Jordan is like, okay, yes, I am fully ready and raring to go because the desk last night was not enough.
I actually got really bad friction burn.
I think I've got a splinter. So they end up fucking in the kitchen and he gets her to orgasm just by licking her nipple. What in the 50 Shades of Grey is that shit? A lick of the nipple and there she is.
I wish it was that easy.
I know. Maybe when you're 19. I could
get off on a nice summer breeze.
Desks, loofahs, nipples, all of it.
Nothing is safe.
Well, what's becoming a theme in these books of late is a lot of cum and a lot of vag with not a lot of protection. And that's exactly what this 19-year-old wants because she is on the pill. So therefore, she wants his load up and in her. Ladies, PSA, the pill is not 100% effective and does not protect you against STDs. Jordan, control your shit. We do not need to be pregnant and or... with chlamydia at this point in time. So Jordan's sister basically catches them in the act and is quite pleased by this development because, of course, she fucking is. Although she warns Jordan that this relationship isn't a long-time thing. But being the child that she is, Jordan hasn't quite had that realization yet herself that their age gap actually would mean that their relationship is going to operate differently to the relationship she's had in the past. And it's going to have to exist outside of the mind-blowing sex. So now she's questioning things, which, you know, fair enough. But we do get some deep and meaningful chats between the two lovebirds to prove that their relationship is more than just hot, sweaty sex. But then they're in the middle of said hot, sweaty sex. Pike gets a phone call from Cole. And believe it or not, he and his batshit crazy mother are coming for a holiday. Great. So now we've got Lindsay demanding to sleep in Jordan's room, Cole saying Jordan can share his bed, and Pike about to implode. He gets woken in the middle of the night to what he thinks is Jordan coming to sleep with him, but it's just crazy Lindsay who wants to ride on his disco stick. He gets the fuck out of there and goes outside for a smoke when he bumps into Jordan, who is sulking by the pool. And now in this whole section of the book, I really fucking started to see Jordan as an annoying teenager. Her age really started showing here for me. So essentially, she's wearing absolutely next to nothing as her pajamas. And Pike is like, are you really wearing that to bed next to Cole while you're fucking me? And she goes, he's seen me in this.
Ew.
And it's...
Yep. Ick. No.
Fucking hell. Yes, thank you, Jordan. I was trying to forget the fact that you fucked his son so I could enjoy this delightful age gap between you and Daddy Pike. And here you go, ruining it with your fucked up little teenager brain. It's just like, there's no need to make Daddy jealous of his son who you used to fuck. There's just absolutely no need for it.
Sometimes I picture as well, like, because obviously being pansexual, I picture myself dating all of the characters all at once. Like, I'm dating everyone. And I picture if I was dating her and she turned around and said that to me, I would fucking combust. I'd be like, oh, well, that's it. I can't.
That's what I mean. It's just fucked up. Like, so she's shitty at him because she thinks that he should have told Cole the truth as soon as he and Lindsay, like, rocked up to the house. And I do not agree with that. At fucking no. If she cared for Cole at all, she would respect the relationship that he and Pike have as, like, father and son. And she would let Pike tell him on his own terms. That is something that the two of them need to sort out rather than being like, but what about me? And that's exactly what she's doing here. To me, she just acted like a fucking mega brat here. I get that she wants a normal relationship and not to be treated like some sort of dirty secret, but that's kind of what you are right now. But she basically gives him an ultimatum, which is always great. And she's like, tell him now or it's over. And Pike, being the adult that he is, actually thinks about their likely future relationship and realizes she is still in college and maybe would like to experience other dicks during that time. And he doesn't want to hold her back. He says this to her and she goes all dead inside and is basically like, I feel absolutely nothing for you now.
Because that's how it works. You just say it and it all goes away.
Mm-hmm. So Jordan goes to stay with her sister after this for a little bit and grabs some of the stuff from the house while Cole was having a party. So she has this altercation with Jay, who happens to be at this party. And tell me again why Jay and Cole are friends, because that just kind of seems fucked up to me that your abusive ex is friends with you.
Again, Cole, balls on the ground.
It wasn't that hard. But anyway, she has this altercation with Jay in her room and she absolutely fucking owns him and it's brilliant. We have this quote. Now, I'm simply terrified for every woman I see you with, but also secretly smiling because I know after they fake how much they love your cock in bed. They're in the bathroom fingering themselves to a mental image of any guy in town who's not you.
Wow.
You tell him, sis.
And she's also holding scissors as she says this, which just compounds that.
Fair enough, too. Sometimes doesn't hurt to have a little bit of weaponry nearby.
Doesn't at all. And, well, it works because Jay skedaddles with his ego truly damaged. But at this point, he taps into his inner Joe from the You series and he's just lurking around the kitchen when he sees Jordan and Pike in a very intimate moment. Pike is trying to get her to stay, but she is adamant that she can't stay unless they tell Cole now during his party. And again, not going to happen. Jay jumps out.
To be fair though, fuck him and his friends, given that they all knew he was cheating on her.
That is very true. I do remember at the top of this episode, I said that he's just like, he's not a terrible person. He just does terrible things. I'm beginning to realize he is just a terrible person at this point in time.
He gets there by the end of the book. That's where we end. But like, we're not there yet. We can hate on him now.
So Jay jumps out and he catches them and like essentially a fist fight ensues and Cole jumps in to join in with his fisticuff action. And it's probably the most productive thing he's done in this book to date.
Honestly.
Snaps for Cole. So Jay ends up blabbing what was going on with Jordan and Pike, and Cole does not take it great, as you can imagine. Cole leaves them both, and then Jordan leaves too. And her internal monologue in this moment is, he doesn't follow me, and I'm not worth it. Jesus fucking Christ, Jordan.
It's his son.
He essentially just ruined his relationship with his only kid. He has bigger fucking fish to fry right now. Where is your goddamn perspective? She had that at the start of the book. She was logic. She had common sense. She was thinking through these things. And now all of a sudden she's just acting like a fucking 19-year-old, which she is, and she's allowed to, but it just annoys me. From there, Jordan runs away from all of her problems. And I know it's framed as her taking some space from everything, but that is what she does. She runs away.
That's what she does.
She tells her sister and Shell where she's going, and then she just fucks on off. So good for her. Meanwhile, it turns out that Cole has enlisted in the Navy because he too loves semen.
Oh, that was a fucking good one, Ellie.
Thank you. So he's uncontactable for the next 8 weeks. Pike is just out there having a bloody shit time. He's channeling his anger into his garden, and he's just building all this fucking shit at the moment. He's going through these magazines, looking at ideas. He's watching Better Homes and Gardens, and it's like, you know what, Noni? Yes, I will build that gazebo. Here I go. And off he trots. We fast forward 8 weeks. And Cole rocks up to Pike's house after graduating from his training. And Pike has been writing to him and leaving messages with his recruitment officer the whole time. He's devastated. And Cole ends up saying that the military is what he needed. We have a little quote, which is, he needed to be torn down and rebuilt better. Which, yes, you did, because you were a little bit of a cunt before. So,
I good. Agree.
So he also recognizes he wasn't Jordan's equal and would never be good enough for her. And we do love a man that's capable of self-reflection and improvement. So Pike apologizes for banging his son's girlfriend, and Cole's like, you know, you've done a lot for me over the years as my father. So yeah, I know that you love me and you love her and I love you and I love love. So fuck it up. It's not incest if we say so. That's what they do. So a cheese pizza is shared between father and son, and the bond is restored. And now we have the green light to find and fuck our 19-year-old girlfriend. Encouraged by a wet dream where Jordan is impregnated with his spawn, Pike is spurred on to drive to some shitty hotel in Virginia to reclaim his love.
Jesus fucking Christ.
So I do need to preface here that Pike also has discovered a list of all of Jordan's dreams, and this has helped him realize that he wouldn't be fucking up her life by being her sex daddy, because all this girl wants in her life is a goddamn clothesline. And wouldn't you guess it, Pike built a goddamn clothesline during his 2-month mourning period when he was watching Better Homes and Gardens. So they are soulmates. So they reunite. Jordan cries because Pike took too long to come and get her, never mind the fact that she left him with instructions not for him to find her, but anywho, they fuck. And it's happily ever after. Quite literally, because then a year later he proposes to her with a ring shaped as a rose.
No.
Which, to be honest, it sounds quite fucked up. I'm not sure I'm going to like it.
No, not the vibes, not the aesthetic.
Giant fucking ick.
We do not like it. But anywho, they fuck again, and then it's 9 years later and we're in the epilogue now, and they're married with a 6-year-old called Jake, and she's up the duff with their second spawn. Turns out their child is the uncle to Cole's kid, who's the exact same age, and it's not weird at all. It's happy family. Jordan's now some big shot landscape designer, and they end the book fucking. So just gotta love that happy ending.
Okay, so that is it for Birthday Girl. Ellie, do you have any music references?
Look, she's included a playlist in the book, so just refer to that if you feel so inspired to fuck your boyfriend's dad.
Okay, we're finishing off. There's not any fan art. You're not surprised. It's not that type of book. But we're moving on to next week, and we're covering a very highly requested, very popular book at the moment, The Serpent and the Wings of Night by Carissa Broadbent. So a bit of a fantasy one for you. It's a little bit longer, so, you know, bear with us. We're obviously doing the new type of template for the episode, so hopefully we're not drowning your ears for too long. But yes, otherwise that's it, and we will see you guys next week.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. You can find us on Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube if you haven't already, at A Book and a Bev Podcast. Please rate, like, and subscribe. We hear that helps. We love and appreciate you, and we'll see you next week.